Welcome to Truly Fit, the online fitness marketplace connecting pros and clients through unique fitness business software.
Welcome to the Truly Fit podcast. I'm your host, Steve Washuta, co-founder of Truly Fit and author of Fitness Business 101. On today's podcast, we have Lynette Pitanici, and we're going to be discussing how public relations and digital marketing campaigns can help your fitness business. Lynette owns Mint and Honey Co., which is her PR agency. She has her own fitness business. She works with Pilates and PR, Pilates in the Park. She lives in Astoria, which is Queens, New York City, New York. And because she works in the fitness realm, where she has a Pilates background, she understands how to merge those two, how to use digital marketing and the concepts, the general concepts of public relations to help grow fitness businesses. She can also give us specifics in how we use digital marketing and public relations to help grow our fitness business. So this is going to be great information for you guys. With no further ado, Lynette. Okay, Lynette, thanks for being with us here at the Truly Fit podcast. Let's give the audience a quick 101 on you, your fitness background, but also your professional background.
Of course, thank you so much for having me. So my fitness background, I've been playing sports since I could walk, essentially. Always had a really strong interest in science. I was a baton twirler when I was a teenager, a competitive one. Wasn't great, but I did it for a long time. I didn't do really anything in college except go to the gym. And then when I graduated, I was riding a bike, you know, trying to get off that college weight, and I got hit by a car. So I got knocked out for the summer. And then once I got the boot off of my foot, that's when I took up running. You know, you're 22, you're broke when you come home from college. So I needed something to do that not only really got me moving, but also was cost effective. And I signed up for a Turkey Trot that November, and I caught the running bug. So I've never stopped running since then. But I also wanted to do other things in that realm. So I have a nutrition certification. And then the one that I really use is my Pilates certification, where I taught at a studio for a year, and then I created two series, Pilates in the Park, which is in Astoria, New York, in Astoria Park. We do that in the summertime. And then I had a networking series called Pilates and PR, which was a B2B series, except that that's on hold because of COVID. Professionally, I have a BA in PR and advertising, and I interned at a company who specialized in health and wellness because I wanted to see if I liked it. And naturally I did. So I kind of fell into that niche, and I have worked with trainers. I've worked with Body by Simone. I've worked with Yo Yoga, Allonge. I've worked across the board on that. And it's been really fun and really rewarding. And it's really nice to have a personal connection to the types of clients that I've been working on.
Wow. That's cool. That's really cool. And we're obviously going to get into the PR and the digital marketing and all that stuff. But I have to ask, tell me a little bit more about Pilates in the Park. Is this just like Matt Pilates? Do you advertise for it? How exactly does this come about?
Yeah. So when I got my Pilates certification, I knew I wanted to do pop-ups and do a little bit of travel that goes along with that. So we are in the park. It is Matt Pilates. It's pretty open level. I like to make sure that it's available for everyone, especially in the summer when people want to be outside. You know, they really want to still get their workout in. They want to make sure it's effective, but sometimes you just don't want to be in a studio after work. You just want to breathe that fresh air, move a little bit. I do a little bit of social media on that. I was featured on We Heart Astoria a few years ago on their big list of things to do in the summer. I created a Facebook group. I am part of Hellgate Roadrunners in Astoria as well. So that's been helpful in kind of creating some buzz about it. But mostly all of my, all of the clients that come have been word of mouth. So from my little bit of social and Facebook, I haven't really put too many ad dollars behind it. I've tried to, you know, partner with some of my own clients that were based in Astoria to create some buzz that way as well. But it's been mostly word of mouth, which has been really rewarding.
Yeah. That's, I think that's the best way to do it. Ultimately, if you do a good job and people spread the word, it's the most trustworthy way in which you can relay information. And we're going to kind of touch on that when we talk about PR, right? As opposed to advertising, which people kind of mix it up, right? They go, oh, you're in PR and advertising. I go, no, PR and advertising are different beasts unto themselves, right? So
every time you say PR, it's like, oh, you do advertising, right?
Yeah. You're like, you do advertising marketing. You're like, no, it's a bit different. I talk about in my book, Fitness Business 101, about that too, how another really important thing about spreading word of mouth is typically you grow at the rate in which you can handle growth. What I mean by that is if you want to go out and spend $15,000 and get a ton of clients to show up for your first Pilates in the park class, guess what? You're going to lose most of them because you're not ready to handle all of these people yet, right? So by building word of mouth, for whatever reason, it has this natural ability to have this slow trickle up effect where you have 10 people the first time and then 12 and then 15 and 20. Before you know it, you have 30 diehard people and you have 60 people coming and you grow at a more realistic rate for your skill sets, if that makes sense.
Exactly. I agree. And what's really cool about it is because I am in this city, there is a little bit of turnover with residents, is that I get a whole new batch of people every year as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something else. And, you know, we talked off camera beforehand. I also worked in public relations in New York City as well. And how I was taught the definition of public relations, I'll never forget it, creating and maintaining relations between an organization and its constituents through strategic two-way communication. One of my professors at West Virginia University made us remember that. We had to say it every day we walked into the classroom, so I'll never forget it. But that's sort of a mouthful, but to describe it to people, I'm gonna throw this to you in a second, but the best way in a short amount of time that I can describe it is telling them basically through honest, strategic two-way communication, you're trying to build relations short-term and long-term.
Yeah, exactly. It's that earned recognition. It's telling a story. In return, what you're really trying to gain with PR is credibility, visibility, and awareness. So you're really trying to get someone else to trust what you are saying, trust the product that you are selling, and hoping that they'll say really nice things about it. Which is where that earned recognition comes from. And I started saying recognition very recently because PR is not only media relations anymore. It's so much more. It does, you know, trickle into social media. It does trickle into brands that have their own content hubs. So it is not just your traditional Shape, Self, Women's Health. It's also TikTok. So it's getting that earned recognition, you know, where you find where your audience is. But most importantly, it is that storytelling. It's what makes you unique. What makes you different than your competitors? What value are you bringing to whatever outlet you're speaking to and their readers?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a fantastic way to describe it. And I think you're so right on the mediums in which you relay that information are ever changing, and they certainly have changed a lot since I've been out of the game, which is a while now. The last time I was in PR, we were focused on what we considered like short leads, like newspapers that don't even exist anymore, right? And now you have to have the ability to have a strong presence online. And every week, it seems like the technological growth, there's new platforms, you know, I just found out about Clubhouse.
Yes, Clubhouse.
So I still don't know what it is. I can't sign up because I don't have an iTunes account or something. So
I have an invite for you. I have an invite I can send you.
Thank you. So yes, you have to obviously stay on top of that stuff, and it's important. And this works into the fitness world, right? This isn't just for general what people would consider like large scale businesses. If you own your own business, you have to be
exactly
up on this too.
Yeah, it is not just for large scale businesses. It's especially for smaller businesses and startups because you kind of need to fit in with those larger businesses. I personally really enjoy working with those smaller businesses and finding the challenge in getting those mentions. I tend to work with a lot of brands who have competitors that have funding behind them. And, you know, that's what you'll see mentioned more often than not, whether that product or service is great. We don't know. It's up in the air, but because they have that name and that finance credibility behind them, they're going to get a little bit more recognition. However, when you have a good story to tell for that small business, you can get mentioned right there with them. But it's also important for those smaller brands, if you're just starting out, to build a personal following. You see fitness trainers all the time. You know, Lisa Nirin was one of my favorite Peloton instructors. And if you are, I'm sure everyone is familiar with Peloton at this point, if they're listening. And she might sound like she's been there many moons ago, which is kind of true. It was a while ago since the last time she taught there. She has moved on to another platform, but I'm still talking about her because she was still my favorite instructor there. So building that personal following not only helps you, but it's going to help you down the line in your career when you go into an interview and they're going to say, all right, well, do people know who you are? Who are you? Because we need to build our studio. Look at where our competitors are. Again, educating and that credibility. I personally like to work with clients who will educate the public. And it's usually those smaller businesses who are really just, they're new, they're passionate. They have so much to tell the world. And if from a fitness perspective, maybe you're a new spin studio, and one of the things you're observing in your classes is people are all over the place. They're in third position, they're in second position, but they're gripping on when they're in third or second. So maybe you want to tell the story of proper spin form, and someone that a PR person or you pitch it to is like, oh, wow, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I think a way to do that, a way that I'm not good at and that I'm trying to get better at, is engagement, right? I can speak to people very well and tell them what I think they need to do, because that's what personal trainers do. And I've been doing that for, you know, 15 years. But in order for me to better assist my audience, I need that engagement that connects both people. And I think part of engagement is having digital marketing campaigns, which actually, for me to define that, I couldn't. I don't know exactly what that means to me. It's vague. So I'm going to throw that to you and tell us and the audience, what exactly is a digital marketing campaign, and how can that help you if you're a fitness business?
So when you start getting into the word marketing, that's when you start, you can go a little bit more into the advertising world there, because there are typically dollars behind that, unlike the dollars you put behind public relations, aside from paying your PR person, which you should always do, but you're not paying the media outlet to feature you. When we go into digital marketing, we're thinking newsletters, so your email marketing, so retaining consumers that way, and whether that's putting out educational information, advertising, maybe you have a new plan, a new class, whatever that might be, that's going to be a way, that's a marketing tactic to garner new clients and keep your old ones. Social media ads will be important, and you can really go into the ad center and target to your audience. So if you only want to reach, you know, fitness professionals or fitness enthusiasts in Chicago ages 25 to 35, you can go in there and do that, and you'll be getting your target audience. I would say a lot of brands are getting better at that. Sometimes I get things that are still completely way off of any interest that I have. But I think when you get down into your tiny target audience, your niche, you'll have more ROI on that, because you're getting to the right people. They're actually interested. Branded content. So there's paying outlets or whoever a branded content editor is. Instagram ads also falls into that, kind of with influencers. And that's going to be kind of owning that content, but you're going to be paying for that. Though the way that it's written, you wouldn't know unless it's tagged. So it's native content, but it's advertising.
Yeah.
So it really, it targets it a little bit more, and there's a little bit more ROI on what you get out of it. There's a little bit more of a monetary spend behind digital marketing. But it works in tandem with PR.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a good point and a good definition and an overview of that. So let's lead into how PR works in tandem with that. Or just, I think in general, people don't know exactly what PR entails as far as how that would help a business from start to finish. So you, as the PR rep of said company, right, Truly Fit, for example, what are you doing to help the company exactly? And you can be specific as far as day to day. Let the audience know what it takes to build a pitch why you make pitches specific as opposed to vague, like an Instagram message and so on and so forth.
So essentially my goal is to build your credibility, visibility, and awareness through storytelling. So the first thing I would do is, what is your story and what makes you different? So, and that usually entails a really long conversation with the client. We are picking things apart. I will ask you why, like a little child, 400 times before you finally give me that little bit of information. And that often happens a lot, especially clients are like, all right, let's just get this over with. This is my brand. This is who I am. This is what we do. Okay. But the other brand does that. So why are we publicizing you instead? What makes you, why should you be in that story as well? And usually once I ask a million more questions and really get into that, they'll say this one sentence and that's the thing. That's why you're different. Whether it's something about why you created it, something that you do in the studio, finding that why is going to be the most important part to me because it's how I can differentiate it. So if I see someone asking, oh, hey, does anyone rep this? We're looking for XYZ. I can say, oh yeah, I have that as well. However, this is why you should feature us instead. This is why we are, our messages are better, elevated, whatever it might be. It's what makes you different. Because if it's just the same old five brands with the same old story, there's nothing fun about that. And there's no incentive for a writer to write about that.
Yeah,
because they've probably already done it.
You're right. And I think it's tough for us being so invested into whatever it is that we chose to notice those, like, I guess you would say those like nuances or maybe those special things that we have. So someone might tell their story and they're thinking the entire time that you're going to pick up on that they were a track athlete in college or something, but they neglected to mention that, you know, they got into a huge accident, which made them get a surgery and then they have to recover from that surgery. And that's the angle you want to go. You're like, no, we need to talk about how you recovered from your surgery and that changed your perspective on things. So I think having a professional who understands how to craft a story and has seen the scope of stories going on now in the industry is better suited to really hone in on what is going to set you apart from everybody else.
I agree. And also finding the thing that's going to resonate with your audience. I think we've all seen how different generations go after different things. We know that Gen Z is very into ingredients and what they are putting on their skin and what they are ingesting. So if that is your target audience, your messaging might be a little bit different than a baby boomer messaging. So also making sure when I am crafting those messages and trying to get that story, finding the thing that also resonates with their audience, how are they going to connect with them? So in addition to that, then we create some press kits. I like to always have extra information on hand. So I do a press kit for everyone, press release, backgrounder, bio, fact sheet. So it's all right there. If the editor wants more information, I hand it right over. And then I go right into targeted pitches. So we are researching editors, outlets, influencers, who is the right person to pitch this story to? Who is really going to love it? And I like to really make sure when my initial outreach is going to go to the people I personally know who have a relation to whatever problem we are trying to solve. So I try and make sure everything's very personal. I don't do mail merge. I know that's a very controversial thing to say in the PR world. I know a lot of people do it. A lot of people don't. I am on team don't. I like to know who I'm emailing. And I also like to, you know, add a little personalized message in there, especially if it's someone, you know, I regularly talk to. I want to make sure you know that I know who I'm pitching.
No, I think that's important. I mean, for this podcast, for example, I don't send out blanket messages anymore. I did for a while. And what I will do here and there is send out via a program I use called Prowly, sort of like updates on the podcast and let people know it's there. And if they're interested, they can reach out to me. But more often than not, I am reviewing somebody completely before I send that, if that makes sense. So you're only getting that if I know a lot about you. And the second you respond, I'm already ready with a a follow-up to say, hey, loved your article on X, Y, and Z, or loved your class or your take on this sort of Pilates reformer. So that you have that connection with that person and that it is genuine and that you do want to get to know them and you want them to, you know, be a part of your business.
Exactly. And then from there, you know, maybe we'll get an answer. Maybe we won't. That is the beauty of earned media, which is why I always say you need a lot of patience to do this job and a lot of thick skin. But if we don't get a response, we follow up and then maybe the editor will say, oh, you know, we can't use this right now, or they won't answer and we'll just pivot to a new angle. And again, there's so many different angles, especially when you are a smaller business. I personally really like to have fun with trying to craft new angles that might not be something that anyone has thought of before. So we can put that picture in their head of, oh, this is a cool angle. We should definitely put this out there. So like I said earlier, proper spin form and Pilates, what does a neutral pelvis mean? You can introduce new methodologies. And then the benefits, you can garner new clients, especially if you have a first-time class package. You can catch the attention of well-known instructors or brands for partnerships, and that will also help elevate your awareness and can also bring in revenue depending on the nature of that partnership. Another one that I wrote down that I think is kind of cool is bringing in visitors who will try the classes and help create a demand for expansion, which is probably one that most people are just like, what, you're crazy, that's so weird. However, one of my favorite studios in Chicago is Studio 3. And one of my favorite things about the pandemic was I got to take Studio 3 classes because they were obviously online. So if you're bringing in visitors who will try these classes and then they're going to bring in visitors or tell people to go where they're going to post about it, you can kind of see where your next expansion might be. Where is a demand? And then you can kind of organically grow that way. So I always thought that was something that was cool because a lot of times, in addition to your local and regional press, you are going to be going after national press. You do want that shape, that self, that women's health. And that is national.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, there are some of this that a business owner can do on their own. So if you are a personal trainer and you own your studio, you can take these tips and you can run with them. But both the experience and the time a PR professional has is going to expedite the process of getting you coverage, right? So for example, you're not going to have the time if you're training all day to go research articles and then find out the journalist's email and then pitch them the appropriate perfect pitch on why you think the follow-up to that article could or should be your business, right? And if you do have that time, great, but it's unlikely.
And exactly. So there's definitely.
And that's not where you're making your money as a trainer, right? You're going to lose out on the hour that you could be training.
Exactly. I would agree. And, you know, for us, what you just said, that's exactly what we do. It is time consuming. Typically, you don't see how time consuming it is behind the scenes, which is why a lot of people think that they can do it themselves, because all you see is a pretty package we deliver at the end with the beautiful logo and your mention and the pictures that you can put on social media. But what went into getting that one small mention could have been a month's worth of work.
Yeah, no, that's true. And, you know, the difference we touched on before between that PR and that advertising is everybody knows that you put the dollars behind that ad. And it's obvious that it's your company pushing that ad. When it's PR, it's coming from, you know, somebody who is essentially a third party, somebody who is reviewing or talking about the item, who isn't invested directly financially into it, right? They are covering it in a bit more of a neutral way, which lends to your audience becoming more also invested in your product because they know that this is real.
Yeah, and your PR works in your advertising and marketing too. So piggybacking on exactly what you just said, your marketing, your advertising, your social media, all of those things are saying, I'm the best, I'm great, come visit me. I know what I'm talking about. Your PR is someone else saying that. Add in that story to your marketing, So now you're saying, yeah, I am the best. I come visit us. You should see us. We know exactly what we're talking about. Look at what this person said. They just said, we're really cool too. So now you have something to back up what you're saying.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it. I think that, I think the audience will certainly get that. And you're right. That's what people think too. It's not just me telling you, and it's not just reviews. I have actual, you know, credible sources, outlets who are also, if nothing else, intrigued by what I do. So you should also be intrigued. And I think that's, that lends to exactly how you described, you know, getting awareness and getting credibility towards your brand outside of your self promotion. So let's talk a little bit about some tools that are in the industry. I know when I say tools, I mean both tools that you use and that you as a professional are going to be better suited to use. And then maybe somebody who is not a professional, somebody who's just running their own business, doesn't have the money to hire a PR or a consultant, could use to help them with their PR.
So I mostly use Cision for work, and that is the media database where you can find contacts, you can find titles. You can also send out pitches and press releases via Cision. I personally do not do that. There are plenty of people who do that and it works for them. We just don't work in the same capacity, and that's okay. You find what works for you, your business, and your clients, and you go with that. That being said, it is very expensive, and you'll typically find agencies using that, or if you have a legitimate in-house communications team, they will have access to that. Aside from that, it's good old research. It's research and an Excel sheet. Social media is really helpful in that a lot of people, especially influencers, will have their contact information either in their bio on their website or the little button that says contact me in their Instagram bio. But essentially, it's a lot of research. And I personally do research before I even go to Cision, because the databases are not necessarily always correct. There's also Muckrack, which is similar to that. That's also really great to see what other articles a specific writer has written and what outlets that they contribute to.
Yeah, those are great, amazing tools. In my old PR office, you know, 12, 15 years ago, Cision, before it was Cision, was called Bacon's. It's the same company, but that's who like owned it beforehand. And because it's so expensive, we only had one account, but we had 20 people would share the account. So at any given time in the office, someone would scream across the office, Bacon's. And that would just mean like, is anybody on Bacon's right now or Cision?
But, yeah, we used to do the exact same thing when I was at agencies, yeah. Like Cision.
Yeah, so that's funny. But yeah, I mean, Cision is a fantastic tool. And again, for those who don't know, you can look up editors, you can look up outlets, you can look up all the different people who are writing and in control, whether it's long leads, short leads, newspapers, magazines, online versions, all these things. You could also find out calendars when these people are covering things. So if you find out that, you know, their women's Shape magazine is doing a September feature on Bikram yoga studios and you own a Bikram yoga studio, you can pitch them. But again, the issue is it's expensive. And if you don't already have relations with these people, typically your pitch is going nowhere anyway, or it's very difficult to get there. So it's really for the professionals. Muckrack, I believe Prowly is another one, closer to the $200 a month mark, where it's not as good. It's mostly bloggers. It's not as many people that you're going to be able to get in touch with who are actually have a lot of reach. But again, for the money, you can still send out press releases and get some contacts and go that way if that's your, you know, ideal situation in running your own business. But I always recommend at least hiring a professional for a short period of time to get that going. Can you talk about like packages? How exactly does that work? If someone wanted to hire you, do you work on monthly retainers? Will you work on a one-time package? How does it work?
So I work on a monthly retainer and the minimum is 6 months because it does take a little bit to get started. We do a lot of housekeeping beforehand, which can take 2 to 3 weeks, depending on how quickly things get approved on the client side. But we also have to start pitching, and then they need to write the stories or decide if we're going to be included. Then that story needs to also come out. So it does take time. It's an investment. It pays off over time. It's something you want to keep going with. I don't recommend taking breaks, because it's very easy for another brand or a competitor to come in and be like, oh, well, we haven't heard them mentioned in a while. Hey, we're here. We kind of do the same thing. And now all of a sudden, they're getting all that traffic and revenue that you were getting.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think people want the quick fix. They're used to the quick fix these days.
They want PR is not instant gratification.
Yeah, it's not some, you know, you're not going viral. You're not having some Instagram story and then getting a million followers. It is like anything else. When you see a brand that you recognize and that you know and that you trust, instinctually you might not think about it, but if you take a step back and say, why do I trust this brand? It's because you've seen them dozens and dozens of times over different platforms, used in different ways, and you have a sense of who they are. But you know, if you don't keep that ball rolling of momentum, you're going to fall out of people's minds.
Exactly. And even when you hear something word of mouth or you see it mentioned on social media, usually, maybe I can't speak for everyone, but I can speak for myself that I would go and Google it. So when you Google your brand, what else is coming up besides your website and all the other tabs to your website? Do you have other people mentioning you? Is it all advertising? So that's something I would encourage listeners to do. If they're considering going this route or not going this route, what happens when they Google you? What's coming up? And if there is nothing to back up the claims that you're claiming from a third-party source to give you that credibility, I would consider starting a PR campaign. And if you don't have the budget to do it yourself, to hire someone, if you are doing it yourself, remembering that when you're pitching, to create a compelling story, not just a me narrative.
That's a great point. I think that's difficult for people. Another reason why you probably should hire it out. If you don't have a background in this sort of thing, if you haven't watched other people in the industry, there's a very particular parlance or jargon that they use in a way where they craft these messages where they know one sentence too much, one sentence too little could mean the difference of somebody picking you up or not. And that's why we leave it to the professionals.
Yes. It's all about those little details.
So are there any other strategies or tools that you would give the general public? Or actually, let me ask you this. What do you think about Haro, Help a Reporter Out? Is that worthwhile for, let's say, Susie Johnson, she runs a small personal training business. Is it worth her trying to build her name and her credibility through reaching out to Help a Reporter Out to see if she can get some coverage?
Yes, as long as when you're answering the inquiries, you are actually answering their question. So yes, it might be very exciting to see a national outlet and an editor there, and you're like, wow, I have this way of getting in touch with them now. Let me tell them all about this thing completely irrelevant to what they're posting about. Don't do that. If you are going to use Haro, make sure you're staying on topic with what that inquiry is about. Once you get a response from that, then say, okay, great, thank you. Answer their questions, be grateful, share the story, and then say, I'd love to tell you a little bit more about this new methodology that I've been teaching. I think it's going to be really effective. This is what it is and why I'm doing it. But don't start out your initial conversation like that when it has absolutely nothing to do with what they're asking.
Yeah. I mean, these people are busy and they're going to skim right past your answer if they feel like you're not helping them. You're rather trying to pitch yourself or some other business model you have. So that's great information. Well, lastly, Lynette, let's pitch your stuff. Let everyone know where they can find you as far as your Pilates in the park. Let everyone know where they can find you if they're interested in your services and anything else that you feel like telling the audience.
Yeah. So for PR, you can find me at mintandhoneyco.com. And you can find me on Instagram at mintandhoneyco. Those are my two core platforms for that. And then for Pilates, right now, my Instagram is Pilates_Astoria. I changed it from Pilates and PR since we are down for the count for the time being. However, that website is also still active. And if you can't get the Pilates in the Park Astoria, PilatesMPR.com, and that will direct you right over to that Instagram. And then we have our schedule is a little up in the air right now, only because it's winter and snow. But come summer, we have a pretty relaxed schedule. So it's pretty much the same every week.
Cool. Check it out, everybody. Thanks for being here with the Truly Fit Podcast. And I hope to speak soon in the future.
Thank you so much for having me.
Remember to check out our social media sites, which are all listed at Truly Fit App. There, you can find the polls to questions concerning potential upcoming topics for our podcast, and leave your information or our colleagues and friends' information who you would think best fit for discussion of that topic. Thanks again.